Welcome back. Thank you for joining us again for another great week of the Word of God. I love teaching. I love studying. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved, a workman that should not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where most people struggle, is rightly dividing. People want to get off on denominational preferences. People want to get off on this author said this or whatever. You know, the deal is this. Have you studied it? What's the Spirit of God saying to you? What is the truth? I heard a Baptist minister say this one time. I won't tell you his name, but he was a Baptist minister, probably very, from what I know about him, what I've studied, and just I've heard him teach several times. I actually listened to some of his podcasts. I would say he's probably very borderline or even over the line Calvinist. But he said this. He said, "Have I ever spoken tongues? No. But do I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that there's evidence for tongues?" He said, "How can I deny it when the Word of God says it?" Ha, man, that is truth. And if we could all get like that, study the Word. If it's not in the Word, listen, don't believe it unless the Spirit of the Lord gives you complete confirmation. But I doubt He will, because the Spirit's going to line up with the Word. But if the Word does say it, you need to believe it. Whether you got a pastor that doesn't agree or whatever, you need to study the Word of God. So that's the whole reason why I love doing these podcasts. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, he said, out of the mouth of two or more, let every word be established. After all these years of doing podcasts, I don't know, it's probably been 2 years or more now. All the years I've been teaching, been preaching the gospel for close to 20 years, I always give a lot of scripture, because I want you to understand this is not my opinion. This is the Word of God. So we're going to continue to look. We've been talking about God's gifts and what that means. And I've been sharing with you some different things. And we talked over the last couple weeks, we talked about some of God's gifts, and we talked about the breath of God. We talked about the salvation of God, and we talked about the Zoe life that God gives us to live. So today we're going to make a transition, because when I start looking at the breath, the salvation, and the Zoe, and if you didn't listen to those podcasts, go back and listen to the first two of this series. But when I think about the breath, the salvation, and the Zoe kind of life, I call those God's gifts to man. Okay? They're free gifts that God gave to us. But then as we make the transition, I believe this next part, I call these the gifts of God. And so I want to share with you why I consider that different in my interpretation. And again, I want to back this up in the Word, but why I go from God's gifts to the gifts of God. See, God's gifts, again, the breath, the salvation, and the Zoe life are for us to receive. We get them out of receiving from God. We get them out of a relationship when we call upon God. However, when we transition to the gifts of God, these are gifts that make the life that we live more productive for the advancement of His church. Let me break it down a different way, hopefully make it more simple. So God's gifts, breath, salvation, and Zoe life, those are gifts that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for. Those are gifts that we have to have in order to have the eternal life. You have to be born, and you have to be born again. You have to receive breath into your body. Then you have to receive the salvation of God that comes through the breath of the Spirit. You have to walk in the Zoe life, the God kind of life. You can't walk in your old kind of life. So these are God's gifts to us to inherit eternal life. But as we transition to the gifts of God, these are not requirements for eternal life, but they are gifts that are available for those that are born again. Okay? So as we talk about the gifts of God, these are not required, but they are available to us who are born again to live the life that God's called us to live. Understand first that there is only one true God, and He is revealed in the Trinity of persons. 2 Corinthians 13:14 in the New Living Translation says this: May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. All right, did you see that? 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We see right here evidence of the Trinity of God, the triune God, one God, three parts. So when we discuss the gifts of God, we're talking about many of the gifts God gives to us, but we're going to divide them for clarification, for easier teaching. We're going to divide them into groups that will help make it easier for us to understand. And we're going to do so by using the attributes of God. Now, I hope that makes sense. So again, we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three unique parts. So as we're talking about all these gifts of God, and I begin to break them down, all the gifts come from God, but for clarification purposes, we're going to break them down into three unique parts for the betterment of our understanding. Another piece of scripture I want to bring to your attention that I will refer to often is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, if there's any way you can, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 6. He says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now I want to pause right there. I'm reading out of the New King James translation of the Bible. He says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. That word ignorant, what he's saying is that is not to say stupid. What that means is to be unaware. He says, I don't want you to be unaware of the truth of the Word of God. I don't want you to be unaware concerning these spiritual gifts of God. All right? So let's start again. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking of the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, in these two verses right here, there's a lot of information. Probably doesn't apply so much to the gifts of God that I want to talk about. But when he says that you know that you're Gentiles, anybody that's listening to me that does not come from true Jewish descent, you're a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you are white, black, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, Asian. If you're not Jewish descent, you're a Gentile. Okay. Then he says that you were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Those idols could be anything that you have placed in your life before salvation that you have made God in your life. Drugs could have been your idol. Pornography could have been your idol. Work can be an idol. So anything that was in your life that was higher than God in your life, that was the dumb idol that he's talking about. And then he goes on and he says that no one speaking to the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In order to say that Jesus is Lord of your life, you must do that, going back to what we've been talking about the 2 weeks previous, is receiving the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the salvation of God, making Him Lord of your life. Okay? Now let's pick this up. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And that's where we want to focus on. Because again, as I said earlier, one God, three unique parts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Paul writing right here in 1 Corinthians 12 says there are differences of ministries, but they all come from the same Lord. There are diversities of activities. That's one. Okay. There are differences in ministries. That's two. But all the same, but all come from God. see, where did I miss one? I'm sorry. Differences of ministries, differences of gifts. That's one I missed. And difference of activities. But they all work. They all come from the same God for all of us. So the Apostle Paul calls these spiritual gifts. And how we desire that none of us should be ignorant, or say a better way, that we should have knowledge of these gifts, is for us to look into the Word of God, receive what the Word of God has to say, to give us more knowledge of God's Word regarding these gifts, so that we do not conform to a pattern of this life. So we do not pick up worldly idols, but we live the life that God wants us to live. Paul goes on and he makes three statements that are very important to each and every one of us. Again, verse 4, diversities of gifts. Verse 5, differences of ministries. Verse 6, differences of activities. So the first area we will discuss will be the gifts of the Father. These gifts are found in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. So we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Father. I hope you're a note taker. I love taking notes. Man, I go back and look at them. I've got notes that go back, gosh, so far, probably like, I don't know, 2004, 2005. I've got notes from places actually further back than that. I actually found a Bible the other day, had a sermon in it. I think it was from like 1999 or 2000 from Pastor Joe D. Kelly. So, man, take notes, all right? So we're talking about the gifts of the Father. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8. New King James Version says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Look, every single time the Apostle Paul mentions a Christian gift, he says to the church, let him use it. Don't try to stop him. Don't try to tell him that he's out of line. Don't try to tell him that he's too young. Don't try to tell him that he's never, it's never been done that way before. If God gives you a gift, a special gift, to serve the Lord, then do everything you can to encourage yourself or the other person receiving the gift to do it as unto the Lord. So another way to look at these gifts is to identify with what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:4. He said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So when we talk about the gifts of the Father, he breaks these gifts down. First, he says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it. Okay? Let him use it. If he's talking about prophecy, let him use it. So prophecy. And we're going to look at this several times. We're going to see this word come up. So I want you again, if you're taking notes, pay attention to this. So prophecy. We tend to think of prophecy as a gift of being able to tell the future. Now, sometimes that's what it is. But another definition for prophecy is to declare or foretell as by divine inspiration, or to speak as a mediator between God and humankind. Okay? So to declare or foretell by divine inspiration, or to speak as a mediator between God and humankind. The gift of uttering God's will, or the gift of prophecy, is a direct impulse of the Holy Spirit. Those that operate in this gift of prophecy are those that are gifted at opening and explaining the Word of God so that others can make greater use of it. The voice of the people has been said to be the voice of God. However, generally, this saying has been quoted and believed that it's a true fact that people are turbulent and changing. They seldom judge or determine right. Let me say that again. The voice of the people has been said to be the voice of God. But we've got to be careful here, because people are turbulent and they're changing regularly and they seldom judge or determine things rightly. So understand, prophecy is the mind of the Holy Spirit speaking to us in a supernatural utterance. This divine operation that comes to us under the anointing of God is designed to warn us of sin, of shortcomings that might be ready when Jesus comes. So in other words, when somebody prophesies, it is helpful to us to bring correction into our lives if we've got shortcomings and sin in our life that we need to get rid of to make right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of things we'll discuss regarding the gift of prophecy as we continue to go through this study and we look at the different gifts. But understand, again, that when we talk about prophecy right here in Romans, according to the gifts of the Father, that this is a gift that comes under direct impulse of the Holy Spirit. And it is a gift to declare or foretell by the Holy Spirit's divine interpretation. All right? The second gift that he gives to us is the gift of ministry. Now, people with the gift of ministry, another thing that you could put down for ministry here is servant. So the Bible says in the New King James, it says, if God's given you the gift of ministry, but you could also write next to that servant. See, people with the gift of serving are the ones that have the gift of ministry. They want to be involved with the life of the church, no matter what that means. You know, so many times people get consumed with titles, but people that operate in the gift of ministry, true ministry, the gift of servanthood, are those that don't care about titles. They don't care about recognition. They would just want to be involved in the life of the church. They'll be ushers. They'll be greeters. They'll be the ones cleaning the bathroom, mowing the grass, getting the pastor coffee, whatever that looks like. They just want to serve. They're the ones that want to help decorate the church at Christmas time. That you show up on Sunday and you just think that stuff fell from the heavenlies. And you don't understand that somebody spent all day Saturday setting it up. They're the ones that donate their spare time to the church and to committees. They're the ones that put the tables and the chairs up and then put them away after you have a fellowship dinner. They're the ones that clean up the church kitchen long after the people have gone home and they don't think nothing about, man, I wonder who's going to wash those dishes. That's the gift of ministry. That is the gift of servant. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 in the New Living Translation. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Man, I like that. Do you have the gift of ministry? Do you have the gift of servanthood? Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies, because then you're going to bring glory to God. People with the gift of serving aren't doing it so they can get the praise. They're doing it so that God will get the praise. They're doing it so that Christ himself will be glorified. Number three, he said, if you have the gift of teaching, the gift of teaching, the gift, the God-given gift, the ability and the power to examine and study God's word and to help others better understand it is the gift of teaching. To study, to examine, and then to speak the word of God to help others better understand and apply it to their lives. Teaching involves defending and proclaiming the truth of God's word in such a way that others will grow spiritually and develop godly character. People that are gifted in the instruction of the word of God to the church for the purpose of declaring the doctrines of the gospel are those that are gifted with teaching. According to BibleStudyTools.com, according to BibleStudyTools.com, it chiefly lies in the doctrinal way of preaching, in opening, explaining, and defending the doctrines of Christ as distinct from the practical part of ministry of the word and the administration of ordinances in which the pastor is employed, as well as this. Let me say that again. That was kind of confusing. The gift of teaching, according to BibleStudyTools.com, is chiefly lies in a doctrinal way of preaching, in opening, in explaining, and in defending the doctrines of Christ as distinct from the practical part of ministry of the word and the administration of ordinances in which the pastor is employed, as well as in this. So in other words, I know of a church in particular up in Kentucky, and the guy that was the senior pastor of the church had a great business mindset, but he wasn't a great teacher. But he had on his staff a teaching pastor. The teaching pastor was not very good at administration at all. He was not very good at budgeting and those things at all. But he was a man that was given to study, and he could study in a way that he could then teach and even write, because he wrote several books that were just amazing. This is a gift from God given to the church. So again, as we talk about the gifts of the Father, and as we look in Romans chapter 12, we've looked at three of these gifts, and he said these are gifts that are different according to the grace that God has given to us. And if we are given these gifts, then do these gifts for the Lord. Do them with all of your heart. If it's prophecy, then prophesy. If it's ministry or serving, then do so. If it is the gift of teaching, teach so that others can learn and understand for the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll look at the rest of these gifts as we continue to teach next week. So stay tuned in. God bless you and have a great week.